Welcome to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. Today, we're going to be talking Arizona politics with longtime activist and former business leader, former congressional aide, a gentleman who I've known for many years and the community knows widely here in Arizona for his involvement in a number of issues, including immigrants' rights and civil rights. His name is Roberto Reveles. We're here to talk to Roberto today because he is formally announcing his run in Legislative District 7 of Arizona, LD7, which is a district that is roughly bordered by a northern part of Pinal County, western Gila County, Navajo County, and a part of Coconino County. It's a large district. It may, in fact, be the largest district here in the state in terms of the geographic space. And Mr. Reveles, who, like I said, has been involved in the community for many years, has a really fascinating, interesting background. He was born to Mexican immigrants in Miami, Arizona. If you're from Miami, you know to pronounce it as Miami. He was born there in 1932, went to high school there, went to the Air Force during the Korean War. And then he worked in the public and private sector for quite a few years, including stints as an aide to five congressmen over a period of about 24 years. He's run for Congress before, so this isn't his, by any means, his first stab at politics. And more recently, he lives in Gold Canyon. In recent years, people have known him as someone who's been heavily involved in immigrants' rights and civil rights issues, including his work with the American Civil Liberties Union of Arizona. He is a past president of the ACLU of Arizona. He was the founding president of Somos America, which did a tremendous amount of work, has done over the years, a tremendous amount of work protecting immigrants' rights, and just a very varied background. And I am so glad to have him here with us today to talk about his latest adventure running in Legislative District 7 against the incumbent Republican, Wendy Rogers. Roberto, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your candidacy and why it's important for you to run for this office.
Thank you very much, James.
Let's just dive right into, when did you decide to run and why did you decide to run? And you, of course, are running as a Democrat, correct?
Correct. I actually decided after being involved for a number of months trying to recruit candidates for this state Senate seat and being turned down by folks who had other commitments, who had other personal family obligations. And as a retired person myself, I felt, okay, can't find anybody else. I certainly am not new to the issue of advocacy. And so 3 weeks ago, I filed with Arizona Secretary of State my intention to be a candidate for the state Senate in District 7. And I've started to gather nominating petition signatures through the Arizona Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm. And the district is widely known as a dominant Republican district, a very Republican district. In fact, the county supervisors, for instance, in Pinal County, as I know, are all Republicans. And you live in that area, of course, and so have been active with that particular board. But it is a district that is rural, very rural, known for sort of its conservatism. And you as a Democrat have been involved in so many progressive issues over the years. Why did you feel it was important for your voice to be heard in this particular race?
Because I was born and raised in a rural district of Arizona in Gila County. And I saw the values that were very prominent around our community. The values in protecting, first of all, the natural beauties here in rural Arizona. Also, the value of depending on benefits from the natural resources available to Arizona. Mm-hmm. And in Gila County, mining was a source of dependable tax revenues that provided the public education systems and the public services that come from tax-based drivers like mining. Mm-hmm. And so, and I always was impressed that when my urban city-dwelling friends were looking for a place to refresh their souls, they would come to places like Globe, Miami, Arizona, and other rural sections of our state.
Yeah. But what are the, as you look at your campaign and what you think you'll be talking about on campaign trail, what are going to be those issues that need to be addressed that are high on your agenda?
Yes, well, clearly Arizona needs to adequately fund our public education system. For years, it's concerned me that we've been at the bottom of the list of per pupil spending in Arizona, and now complicated by some of those limited resources being diverted to private religious schools that divert from the limited public funding available to the public school system.
So we're talking about the voucher program that was...
The voucher program.
And has now spent millions upon millions of tens of millions of dollars already on funding what are essentially vouchers to parents so that they can send their children to private or religious schools.
Yes. In addition to public education system funding, my concern to also protect the natural environmental treasures that are throughout rural Arizona, and responding to the need for accessible and affordable health care for the large demographic of senior citizens in our state. Those are the drivers of interest for me, to protect those vulnerabilities that face Arizonans, especially in our rural communities.
And what have you seen as you've observed the incumbents in terms of her positions on these issues or other issues? What about her stances on issues that makes you feel, I have something different to offer?
Well, one of the first things is respect for diversity, for people who have different opinions politically, civically. And my main concern is how Wendy Rogers, the present incumbent, is one who has been censured by her own fellow members in the state legislature, and her extremist views, where she advocates, openly advocates, physical violence against political adversaries. So it does not surprise me that we are seeing now these horrible examples of violence by younger residents in some very well-established communities here in the Valley. So her modeling of promoting violence is having some very significant impact on the violence we're seeing among young residents in the southeastern portion of our Valley.
You're talking about some of the recent attacks that have been, there have been some charges and criminal charges pursued against young people for ganging up on other young people and just beating them up and that horrific thing.
Yeah.
But you're speaking, of course, to a larger conversation that's being had now in our society, in which we're having to ask ourselves really the very serious question of the public rhetoric that in many ways is promoting violence, public rhetoric that's not only come from someone like Ms. Rogers, but also even the former president of the United States and others, and whether that rhetoric really is instigating violence against communities around the country. And it sounds like you believe it is.
Oh, it is. And I've seen the results up close here in Pinal County and our neighboring Cochise County, where election officials have been subjected to threats of violence, and notably throughout Arizona, including some very high-profile Republican members of the state legislature. And so to me, the promotion of violence is the most sickening aspect of the incumbent, Wendy Rogers.
You also have a long history of engagement on immigration issues, immigrants' rights. You were, in fact, instrumental in organizing a major, major march in the 2000s, I believe 2006, correct me if I'm wrong on that date.
Right.
And you were the former president of Somos America, one of the major pro-immigrant rights organizations. Where do you and Wendy Rogers differ on the subject of immigration?
We're at opposite ends of that issue. I subscribe to the idea that all humanitarian values should be supported and that there is no issue too complicated to take on and resolve. Historically, in Arizona, we've seen year after year after year that the broken down immigration system is used to rile up the base of the extremist elements in the formerly grand old party. And it's distasteful for me to consider that there are neighbors of mine who are struggling on how to dislodge themselves from this immoral stance that is being promoted by State Senator Wendy Rogers and her ilk.
That's Roberto Revelles, who's running for the Arizona State Senate in Legislative District 7. You're listening to Vanguardia America. Welcome back. We're talking to Roberto Revelles, who's running for the Arizona State Senate in Legislative District 7. Revelles, who is 91 years old, is running as a Democrat. Let's get back to my interview.
The latest development on that front is that there are state legislators here in Arizona who are proposing a copycat bill similar to the one in Texas, Senate Bill 4 there, which is a very, very stringent bill, which ironically echoes dramatically SB 1070, Senate Bill 1070 of Arizona from 2010, which exploded on the scene, gained national attention, sparked a national economic boycott against the state. I know you were kind of in the throes of that debate and the conversation at that time. What do you see happening right now in the legislature on these issues? And what role does the state actually have to play on the subject of immigration, given that immigration is primarily the responsibility of the federal government?
Yes. And again, it's horrible to think that Arizona has played a unique role of being the laboratory for the most extreme anti-immigrant policies. Recalling the architect of SB 1070, State Senate President Russell Pierce, who advocated, in his words, make life so miserable for those who are thinking of migrating to Arizona that they will decide not to, and make life so miserable that those immigrants who are already residing in Arizona self-deport. Can you imagine how destructive a proclamation of policy that is? Make life so miserable. Well, they made it so miserable that it led to blowback from decent Arizonans who united in a bipartisan fashion and historically removed a sitting state Senate president, Russell Pierce, for the first time in history.
Yeah, quite incredible development at the time. Mr. Pierce, of course, has passed away since then, but he left a mark on this issue. Fast forward to today, we know we have a climate nationally that is not friendly towards immigrants. And we know that. We just saw proposed Senate legislation that failed in Congress that would have imposed much more stringent measures on asylum seekers and people crossing the border and et cetera. So it's not a great atmosphere nationally. But in Arizona, if you were to be elected to this legislature, what would you like to see achieved? And do you have worries that something like an SB 1070 could rear its ugly head again in the state of Arizona?
Well, there are efforts ongoing right now at the Arizona State Legislature to enact a horrific bill comparable to what the state of Texas did and comparable to our rejected SB 1070 that was largely overturned by the United States Supreme Court.
So do that these bills now have a shot, do you think? I mean, is there a realistic chance that these things could be imposed?
Who knows? The Republican Party seems to have been totally captured by the most extreme elements, the most anti-immigrant, fear-mongering elements in Arizona's history. Yes, it's a very real concern.
Yeah. Let's circle back to the subject of education now. We are kind of notoriously further down the ladder in terms of per pupil funding, teacher pay, all of those issues. Is there a solution on the horizon, in your view, that can really start to address that in a tangible way? The idea of bringing significantly better salaries to teachers and making sure that our students are not left behind in terms of per pupil funding. And do you support the repeal of the voucher program?
I most certainly do support repeal of the extreme form in which the voucher program has expanded beyond expectations to the point of, as I said previously, being a very real threat to the financial standing of our public schools. And so to me, I think this is an opportunity for rational, visionary legislators to recognize that Arizona's economy depends on well-trained, well-educated workforce. And that workforce has to come from the public school system. And it will not fulfill our needs if we continue to deny adequate, sustainable financial resources for teachers' pay, retaining dedicated teachers in the public school systems that have always been the opening of opportunity for Arizonans.
This is the great irony or contradiction, if you will, in that this is a state that presents itself as very pro-business, welcoming to business, insists that that this is a place, if you want to start a new business or expand a business, that you should do it. But of course, we know that businesses need employees, employees who are trained, employees who have an education, and yet somehow we're failing to really provide the level of education that we should be. What are your thoughts on that, and what might you do in the legislature to counter that?
I do think that the business community is composed of well-meaning, thoughtful leaders. And I do think that they are playing a very necessary role in approaching the state legislative leaders, urging them to please ensure the viability of Arizona's future by more adequately funding our public school system from K through 12 and higher education. So I'm an optimist. I do think that eventually the well-meaning leaders, community leaders in Arizona will prevail over the pessimists that are denying Arizona's public school systems of adequate funding.
Is your district, LD7, ready for a Democrat? Is it likely, if you will, to elect a Democrat, given the context that you described earlier, a very Republican, notoriously sort of Republican in terms of its public officials right now? What's the real viability of your candidacy within that context?
I think the viability lies in the rationality of people who will calm down and begin to focus as we near election time, decision time, that they'll see that their own self-interest is critical to their voting, not on the basis of a political label, but on the basis of an experienced advocate who has stepped in and helped to find solutions to issues that are divisive and are non-productive in moving Arizona forward. So I'm hopeful that if I'm able to communicate my experience, my passionate devotion to finding solutions, that we will be able to surprise the naysayers at the general election.
And let's close out maybe with, and I say this a bit with a tongue in cheek, but what are your thoughts on all of the debate that's been surrounding your much younger colleagues in the political world, the two candidates for president right now, who people have been suggesting, I personally think in an ageist way, that simply because of their chronological age, that they are not qualified to be president, either one of them. What are your quick thoughts on that whole debate? And how does that impact you as you sort of think about your own candidacy? Because as I recall, you are now 92.
I am 91.
91. Okay, 91. And
going on 92.
Yeah, going on 92.
There is no James, there is no expiration date on my sense of commitment and loyalty to the values that have been the linchpin for America's success in the world. I traveled overseas. I've seen both our private sector and our public sector and how it has influenced and become a guiding light throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Arizona LD7 no different from that. I am convinced that my passion of advocating against ageism is as strong as advocating and fighting against racism and bigotry and intolerance. So I'm hopeful that when people hear the message and see the experience of accomplishment, that they will take a firmer look and vote in their own self-interest, regardless of party label.
Roberto Revelles, longtime activist, heavily engaged in public and private issues over the many years, a businessman and leader in so many ways in the civil rights and immigrants' rights community in recent years, is now officially running to fill the seat currently held by Wendy Rogers in LD 7, Legislative District 7. He has notified the Secretary of State and is now gathering signatures as part of that petition process. And congratulations to you, Mr. Revelles, and good luck with your candidacy going forward.
And let me remind the audience that they can learn more about me by going to my website, which is RevellesForArizona.com.
RevellesForArizona.com. That's R-E-V-E-L-E-S, R-E-V-E-L-E-S, forarizona.com.
Correct.
Okay, they'll be able to find out more about you there. Thank you again. We'll see you on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Roberto Revelles for his exclusive interview announcing his run for the Arizona State Senate in Legislative District 7. I'm your host, James Garcia. You've been listening to Vanguardia America.